just got the popcorn.
This thing had better have hot guys or cool science, otherwise I'm out of here.
Wow, she kind of looks like my ex.
Damn it, Rod. Now I'm going to be sick when she gets naked later.
Hey, hey, and welcome back to Movies in the Buff, where we strip down, objectify, and thoroughly violate your favorite movies. Here's your team of debauchery, Crazy Carl.
Hey, do all sudden end-of-the-world teen marriages come with a free baby?
Lovely, Lisa.
Geek alert. Hey, kid, Mama is not an alien.
And Sexy Scully.
Yeah, I think I could definitely watch waves roll up into the continent of the United States of America a couple times.
Yeah, that seemed like a firm and effective solution to New York, but anyway.
And DC.
1-star reviews from New Yorkers.
Hey, get off it. Anyway.
New Jersey and Rhode Island.
Bye-bye, Statue of Liberty.
Hey, I just got one question. If it happens, are they making another episode or making another season of Jersey Shore?
Jersey Shore is canceled, bro.
Oh,
that joke was, yeah. Now they have, some kind of, like, Snooki and something.
Snooki's doing a spinoff, and I think the situation is too. On the upside, like, I do have one nice thing to say about that show. Huh? They actually did a very good job after Hurricane Sandy of raising money
to
go back to the local bars and restaurants that were on the boardwalk, so.
Okay. Yeah, they really did.
At least I know it was sort of a odd reason for them to want to do it, because they wanted their old drinking spots back, but they were doing a good thing for the local.
Well, not only that, a lot of the people on that show, and I know we're not talking about that show, but a lot of the people on that show do a lot of charities.
And drink, and what movie are we talking about tonight?
Like you're on the Jersey Shore now.
Yeah.
Get crazy, get wet, anyway. Okay, so we're doing Deep Impact. We're buffing Deep Impact, and that just seemed... I did not even catch the innuendo there until just now.
It could be worse. It could be buffing Deep Throat.
It could be what?
It could be worse. We could be buffing Deep Throat.
That is now on Netflix, I think I saw.
Is it really?
I think so.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
I remember seeing the...
There's actually a movie called Deep Throat that's not a porn, because...
Yeah, it goes over the actual scandal.
Yeah.
I'd read somewhere, and maybe this is wrong. No, never mind. I'm not getting off on this topic.
No, it's actually called Inside Deep Throat.
Well, because that made that so better.
No, which is a documentary about the porn film.
Oh, is it really?
Starring Dennis Hopper, Gore Vidal, and Norman Mailer.
See, I was thinking that the actual porn film was the result of the guy using that name.
No, it's the other way around.
Read that somewhere or heard that somewhere, I don't know. Anyway, a 7-mile-wide space rock is hurtling towards Earth, threatening to obliterate the planet. To save the world, the U.S. president appoints a steely veteran astronaut to lead a joint American-Russian crew into space to destroy the comet before impact.
I'd like to pause here. By joint, it means one Russian.
Yeah.
And like five Americans.
Most helpful review. What is this movie really about? Sacrifice, choices, and the nature of family in the face of death. There is much background subtlety that can be easily missed, such as the look on Leo's father's face when Leo... No, you're looking way too deep into this movie, and you're pissing me off.
Easily pissed off.
So, people who liked this also liked Terminator Salvation.
Sorry, Bob.
District 9. Equilibrium. The Imposter. No Escape. And The War of the Worlds.
I liked three of those movies. Two I've never heard of, and one...
The first two I agree with. The last one, that was an movie.
It starred Tom Cruise. It's not going to be good.
The first one was awesome.
I've not seen that one.
Which one?
Black and White.
Terminator Salvation.
That's the Christian Bale one.
Yeah,
it was a good one, I thought.
Yeah, I did not like District 9.
I did.
I didn't like it the first time I watched it.
Yeah. I have not seen Equilibrium, Imposter, or No Escape, and I hated War of the Worlds.
First War of the Worlds was awesome. Second one I don't know what the fuck they were on.
Yeah.
It was just so, it was so strange. I only
saw one with Tom Cruise.
And yeah, and that's the one they're talking about, and bleh.
The acting was not the same. I guess it's just the big difference between black and white acting versus color acting nowadays.
I think the only reason I saw it was because somebody who played in another movie was in it.
Okay, guys. I just want to say, we've gotten through people who liked this also liked, and we've already done three drinks for going off topic or something else.
Yeah, we went down a rabbit hole.
Heaven and Earth are about to collide. Awesome tagline for Deep Impact.
Hmm.
So we anyway, like or dislike.
Basis. Like, grr. I don't like that tagline.
Yeah.
We always impact. They say it in the movie.
The other tagline for this movie was Oceans Rise, Cities Fall, Hope Survives.
Yeah.
That I get.
Okay, so like or dislike. Scully, let's start with you. Are you wet or frigid for Deep Impact? Wow, did I really just say that? Wow. Feet behind your ears, girls, and let's go. Okay.
What's even funnier is frigid.
Well, that's going to be painful. And
yeah.
Also,
that's going to leave a friction burn.
Yeah, well, so does this movie. You're like,
oh! Wow, okay. All right, so Lisa, wet or frigid for Deep Impact?
For once,
I'm just going to stay with the team.
For once, I was wet.
Okay. So, Carl, we already know you're hard during Deep Impact, but what about the movie?
We don't know that. I don't want to know that. That's good.
I want to know that, but I enjoy knowing that.
Oh, yes! Oh, wow.
No, what they really don't want to know is that I don't have to be.
Yeah. Right. TMI. Finally, Carl pulls a TMI.
Oh, wow. And we don't even have a drink for that because Carl never does those.
Anyway, in regards to the movie, I'm going to say about half staff. It's all right. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that we're reviewing Deep Impact because Armageddon is not streaming.
Yeah. It's Lisa's call, but that's what I would say.
No. I was hopeful.
But I already know that you would enjoy the movie, so.
See, and as for me, I was very flaccid for this film. And also, Lisa, if you're going to choose a movie that has Lily Sobieski in it, I'm right behind you 100%. But please do one where she's over 18, because this is a problem for me.
Wasn't she over 18 in this movie, just playing somebody who was considerably under?
Probably.
Well, if that was the case, she looked considerably younger, and I just don't go for that.
What are you talking about?
Elijah Wood was easily had to be over 18 for this one.
Elijah Wood's girlfriend.
Oh.
And yeah. She was born in 83, and this came out in 98, so she was 8. No.
She was like...
That would make her 15.
Yeah, 15 or 16.
Actually, 14. She hadn't turned 15 yet when this movie was released.
So, yeah, you see my problem with this. And also, those of you who don't know, I do have a major crush on Lily Sobieski, so... You know.
Yeah, have you seen her recent picture?
Yeah, I'm looking at that now, and that's not nearly as attractive as...
Yeah, no.
...things I've seen her in.
Just didn't age well. Just didn't age well.
No, it's not that. It's the way that they're trying to do it. It's really... It doesn't suit her. Like the whole dark and yeah. Anyway, okay, so moving on. What can you say about Deep Impact? I mean, honestly, it's Armageddon light.
Yeah, it's Armageddon before Armageddon.
It's actually Armageddon written by a woman.
Yeah, I get that, and I get that it was before Armageddon. I mean, yeah, Scully and I had this argument and had to go look it up. Even
women have to come first, so.
Or not at all.
I'll just have to.
Oh.
Anyway,
so
I'm
lucky
sorry.
You're not sitting in the room with me. I'd hit you for that.
Yeah, one star reviews from women.
I mean, great. That's
my second one.
I'm sorry. No, actually, that is true. I'm not trying to be a dick about it. It's like women come first or they don't come at all. And 90% of the relationships out there, every now and then you get that good guy that's going to finish it off. But. Anyway, that's the point I'm trying to make about this film, though. It was like sex with no climax.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying the film's climax. I'm saying literally, like, it was the...
Yeah.
You know?
It was, like, this weird amalgamation of several different storylines that all sort of pinpointed on the world, oh, wait, didn't end. It just left you going, okay, I feel like you took four stories and shoved them into a movie and tried to call it really good when it's just four stories in one movie storyline.
Yeah.
And what's even worse is there was so much focus on the stories themselves. I'm sorry to cut you off there, Carl. But there was so much focus on the stories themselves, you completely lose the bigger picture in it. That, yeah. You know, hey, there's a comet coming towards Earth.
Yeah.
I don't know, especially when it was like, they actually, sorry, we're going to cut off Carl every time. <I know.
laughs> Why do you think I've shut up?
Sorry. Oh, I just wish they'd spent more time on the actual comet itself, and they didn't really do it right, and yeah.
Yeah. I liked some of the storylines. Like, the Elijah Wood storyline was pretty good. I did not like the whole Tia Leone and her parents storyline. Like, I didn't mind her so much, but I really didn't like her parents' storyline.
See, I'm completely on the opposite of that.
You liked her parents' storyline and hated hers?
The parents' storyline was okay, and it was pretty decent, but personally, I thought that she, you know, this is going to sound wrong because she is female, but was she a male character, I'd say the same thing. I thought that she played off the whiny little bitch a little too hard.
Yeah, she played the sort of self-sacrificing one. She played a Catholic.
Wow. That's on scope.
Well, we've got 1-star reviews from Jews. We've got 1-star reviews from Catholics now. Yeah, who's next?
Yeah.
The fact that we pissed off a religious group just now, and it wasn't me or Carl.
Yeah.
Does it help that I was raised Catholic and was Catholic until I was about 16 or 18?
Can I point
still
out.
Still technically Catholic, but.
Can I direct you guys to, you know, everything Tia Leone had done before this, which is, you know, The Naked Truth, Flirting with Disaster, Bad Boys, an episode of Frasier, Wyatt Earp, Flying Blind, A League of Their Own, Switch, and that was about it.
She did a lot more than I thought she had.
Yeah, but, I mean, she was known for, you know, being on The Naked Truth. And she wasn't much respected for that, as I recall. Like, nobody really expected much from her, and I think they got about what they expected.
Was she naked on The Naked Truth?
I don't remember much about it. I remember that it was a TV show
Because if she wasn't naked on The Naked Truth, then yes, I would be rather disappointed, and I would look down on her as well.
I have an excellent question for Tia Leone's portfolio here.
Mm-hmm.
I was not an X-Files fan. Nothing against the show. I just never really had a chance to get into it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know much about the character. Who is Dana Scully?
Dana Scully is the co-star of the show. She's Fox Mulder's partner.
Okay. When did Tia Leone play Dana Scully?
There was an episode. There was a body swapping episode late in the X-Files run where Dana Scully and Tia Leone trade places.
Gotcha.
I would actually argue that Dana Scully was the main character of the X-Files, because really it did revolve around her.
And yeah, she was a...
That's what I thought. I thought she was the main character, but it was like, well, maybe she was like a sister. She played like a sister or something, because...
No, Scully she really was the main character, although Mulder was, you know, the driving force behind the X-Files. The show actually did revolve around Scully. And I'm misremembering this episode. This is an episode... it was one of those out of the show episodes that you get every once in a while.
Uh-huh.
And, that was where, Tia Leone came in. But it was something they just did, you know, I think cause, you know, David Duchovny wanted to throw his wife a bone cause she was a shitty actress.
Got it. And that's the problem I have.
Drink and...
No.
Lower your voice.
That was a problem I have with Tia Leone in general. I mean, she plays with some major names. I mean, but literally, that is not enough to save her career because she really is that bad. She takes a role and she turns it into something that it should have never been. She was in Bad Boys with, you know, Will Smith and Martin Lawrence. And
I don't remember who she played in that.
She was the chick that they were trying to protect the whole time.
Yeah. I don't
know. Anyway,
it's very well.
Basically, she's in this movie with these two. Major film, right?
Mm-hmm.
But she needs to be this character that they have to protect, and a soft and, you know, very fragile type person, and she tries to play off the strong female lead type.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's in Fun with Dick and Jane, where she's supposed to be the loving, supportive wife and the, you know, criminal couple, and she tries to play this very independent type person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's in Spanglish, where she's supposed to be kind of the antagonist of the situation, and yet she tries to be the loving wife. It's literally like she always tries to play the opposite of what she needs to be in each role.
Okay, back on the movie Deep Impact.
Right.
Well, I mean, that's the problem that she has in this movie is the point that I'm trying to make.
Yeah.
She's supposed to be the supportive daughter, and she comes out to...
No, she is not supposed to be the supportive daughter.
Yeah, no, she's supposed to be the... That's the point of
her line, is that she is...
Yeah.
Like, she...
But you get trying to go with that.
Yeah, she's really on her mom's side about this whole divorce thing.
Yeah.
And has been for years, apparently.
Yeah, well, apparently the father moved out after the divorce kind of situation. So, which was so weird, which was another reason why I didn't like the character. I didn't like how she played it. Was she's like, I'm an orphan now. And I'm like, dude, you are talking to your fucking dad all the fucking time. How does that make you feel like an orphan? I'm sorry, you rich brat. Go move back to Connecticut where you belong.
One star review from Connecticut.
I'm just going to keep doing this all night.
I get her point on that line. Like, I understood the sentiment behind that is that, you know, she, you know, it's that she really, really, you know, hates her dad and, you know, doesn't want him to be a part of her life. And, you know, she just says that pretty much to hurt him. You know, also the fact that her mom just committed suicide. But, so yeah, I understand that. It's just, like, this whole interaction with her and her parents, I could not really get into that.
Sense. Like, at all. It's like, all of a sudden, she commits suicide.
Because the world was ending, and she wasn't going to survive it?
Eh. So, let's see how it ends.
She was crazy, too. Like, you really got that sensation as being, she really was.
Yeah, she was
the eccentric, drunk, alcoholic, like, she was crazy in a not all the lights on or upstairs. And
and one of the things that I've really got to give this movie credit for is how well they played that scene where you find out that the mom committed suicide, because they never say it. They never say that that's what happened. But you know that's what happened. And everybody in the room with her when she gets the call knows what happened, even though her half of the conversation makes no sense on its own. Mm-hmm. And you realize that it's because they're seeing so much of that happening that they understand just from, you know, the two sentences she says on the phone that that's what happened.
That's the one thing, like, this whole movie does a very good job with is it's not the science, it's not the apocalyptic scenario, it's not the main actors, it's all of the sub-actors, like, the extras, the people who don't get a name, the, you know, co-stars and supporting roles, those are all actually really well done. Like, those characters are somehow better thought out and better acted, and... it's more in what they don't say than what they do say that makes them really good.
Mm-hmm.
So now I remember, now I know why I didn't like this movie. Mm-hmm. For the exact same reason I don't like True Blood.
No, because side actors the main are also,
main characters can't act for crap.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, so we've spent more than enough time on Tia Leone's family. Let's switch stories here to Elijah Wood and his 15-year-old wife.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much the entire thing. He's got a crush on her, and he finds the asteroid, gets named after her. Suddenly she's interested in him.
No, I get the impression that she's been interested, that they're good friends, and that they've been interested in each other for a while. Even and though
at the very first conversation, I knew that she was not really. She was in the friend zone, dude. He was so far. He was years into the friend zone. He's like, so you're going to the party? She's like, yeah. I'm like, yep, clearly friend zone. Friend zoned for a very long time.
Yeah. Well, he was. She had actually. She had accepted a date from somebody else.
Yeah. Again, she friend zoned him. And only until he had an asteroid that was going to destroy the Earth did you
anybody else get that feeling of it's like, oh wait, I can save your life. Okay, let's get married.
Oh yeah, that was totally it.
It was freaking ridiculous.
Yeah.
Redneck kinda scary.
I don't know, I did not get that feeling out of it.
Oh, I did. Are you kidding? She walked away with a baby at, what, the age of 15?
She so whored herself out to survive. I'm just saying.
The baby was her younger sibling.
Yeah, yes. And yet wouldn't leave her parents to actually save her ass, so.
Yeah, that was kind of weird. Yeah, that was the weird, conflicting thing correctly, that I got with these.
If you remember correctly, the parents did not explain to her what they were doing as they were doing it. Until she was on the bike with the baby strapped onto her.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said goodbye.
But,
Still, I don't know.
Better acting from the parents and the baby.
Yeah. Which is
how do you mess up baby acting?
Yeah.
Well, I've known a 40-year-old man who would mess it up for you every time, trust me, but you don't want to get into that.
Yeah.
Don't want to know what he's messing up.
I'm just kidding. I don't actually know him personally, but it was a really creepy scene on Thousand Ways to Die. We won't get into that.
Ugh.
So anyway.
Yeah, that one was a really short story, which is where it was really a meh. It was a really meh story. There was really not a lot of anything to it. There was no content, no real storyline. It was like, okay.
And yet, that whole, the whole scene, like the ending of their storyline with the, him finding her in the traffic jam and them getting on the bike.
No, he did not find her.
Oh, well, them.
She found him.
Yeah, but anyway, that whole scene, probably the best and most emotionally charged scene of this movie. You know, just from a conveying emotion. Standpoint.
With the exception of the astronaut saying goodbye to his son, not being able to see his son.
Yeah, that was really good, actually.
Yeah.
That was the blind
guy was really well done.
Yeah, I don't. I think that, for me, that one rates a close second. But it is a second.
Yeah. I don't know. And then you have the astronaut storyline, which was pretty much the exact same basis as the entire movie of Armageddon.
Yes.
Kinda, yeah.
I mean, I'm not shortchanging it. Obviously, it was done a few months before Armageddon, but.
Yeah.
Same thing. And, the science problems.
We're not going to go into that.
Okay.
The show is only supposed to be an hour long.
It's not even just science, dude. One minute they've got gravity in that spaceship, the next minute they don't. I don't understand it. Okay.
Yeah, I know. Okay, so everybody drink, and that was pretty much the case. The little comet hit. You had this really awesome visual of the seashell.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the visuals in this movie were actually pretty cool. I saw a lot, like, I guarantee you there were a handful, if not probably a dozen times, I'm watching the TV screen, I'm thinking, man, that would be a really cool background on my computer.
Yep. And it's not aging, it's very much like Jurassic Park in that the animation style seems, it's not aging well, it seems soft, fuzzy, kind of a pastel desktop background kind of contrast going on. It's like, it's not crisp and clear like we get in current movies.
And can I just point out that, contrary to what I think Rod said earlier, this was not actually written by a woman. It was just directed by one. But this was directed by the same person who did Pay It Forward.
Mm-hmm.
And the Peacemaker.
And Pay It Forward was amazing.
Yeah.
True.
I mean,
this one.
Yeah.
This one left us wanting.
Yeah, we have.
This one left us going. Yep. Please don't call me back.
Let's see. We have a lot of big name actors, and the director for Pay It Forward, and two guys I've never heard of writing, or we've got a lot of big name actors, J.J. Abrams writing and Michael Bay directing. I think one's going to lose out here.
Yeah.
So anyway,
and we're and we're going to release them 2 months apart.
And what I'm trying to figure out on this one, ultimately, is why Morgan Freeman.
Oh, I loved Morgan Freeman as the president.
I don't know. You
love Morgan Freeman even if he's doing a gay sex video. But the point I'm trying to make is, I mean, it's literally like, oh, shit, we need some legitimacy. Cast Morgan Freeman somewhere. Throw him in there. Get him in there. Oh, we just want his voice.
Yep, they were like, we want somebody really moving for the president. We don't want, an Independence Day president.
We don't want James Cromwell to be president.
Dude, nobody liked the speech from Independence Day, really?
I liked the speech from Independence Day.
The speech was moving. I thought it was moving.
I get why she said they didn't want an Independence Day president. But I know.
They didn't want the cool, like, they didn't want that young, hip, cool, I can't believe I'm using this to describe that.
Bill Pullman.
But in comparison, it's a big difference.
I don't remember James Cromwell in this movie.
James Cromwell is the Secretary of Treasury that retired, that started this whole thing with Tia Leone.
Oh, was he? Okay, so yeah. Maybe I just wasn't paying.
Yeah, he, you remember, because they've got that scene out on the dock by his boat that they're stalking with. Oh my god, what was with the, what was the insurer?
Insurer,
totally paid. Dude, I think I wrote down everyone who funded this movie.
It was in the scene with the secretary. It was in the scene with the president. Mm-hmm. What the hell was up with Insure? Other than they were paying for the movie.
Well, it's got. I get the reasoning behind it. It's, you know, it lasts forever and it's got a lot of nutrition in it.
Oh yeah, no kidding. Next time you guys
little freeze dried food, but that doesn't mean I'm gonna stockpile it.
No. Seriously, next time you get the flu and like. Literally can't hold down food, have had no nutrition for a few days, drink Ensure. It is amazing the amount of protein and how much better you'll feel just by drinking. It's
Scully,
bizarre.
First, I will have to get sick.
If you want to stock, say an end of the world, you know, cache of supplies, stock Ensure and SlimFast.
And Pop-Tarts.
I was thinking
Pop-Tarts last forever.
Yeah, but Pop-Tarts you don't really want in that. As far as nutrition value.
MREs.
That too.
Yeah, and here's the thing. MREs aren't terrible.
No, MREs are actually.
I wouldn't know.
They're not bad, but.
They're not bad.
They're all the same. There's only like 5 of them.
No.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, no, there's a bunch.
They make like seasonal, but seriously, by the time you get out there, there's only like 5 of them.
Yeah. And the point. Anyway, not getting into the point. But I do have to say that MREs are way better than what I grew up on. Seriously, my mom blew up an egg earlier today.
Oh, my.
Blew it up.
But that's so much.
How do you do that?
Microwave. Microwave?
No, it wasn't in a microwave. She was boiling it.
Oh, yeah, you can do that, too.
Yep.
If you she take it from, like, 0 to 140 too fast, it will explode.
Yeah.
Yeah, she boiled it for, like, an hour.
Bring the water up to boiling.
Wow.
Toss it again.
Yep.
She boiled it dry.
That'll do it. Yeah.
Till okay. A pan had to work. Okay, so anyway, drinking and we're done. Screw this.
Oh, wait. I have two last notes. Actually, three. One, is it me or the scene with the comet coming over the top of them just before it impacts? Is that comet a lot smaller than advertised? Or
yes.
Is it just me?
Yeah.
Because
it was like a mile or something across.
It was over a mile, but the other thing is it's in our atmosphere and it's going the long way through our atmosphere. So by the time it hit the ground, it was probably less than a mile.
Well, yeah, it just seemed like that whole shot that looked smaller than advertised.
But that's the weird thing is, as soon as it's like out of the atmosphere, it's a mile and a half. In the atmosphere, it's going to stay less than a mile. And it's just going to, like, the whole time, you're not going to be seeing what actually would happen, which is going to be, like, hundreds of pieces just flying off. Because that's just friction, and you're just coming in at the wrong angle. And that's just more science that I bothered the fuck out of me. And the way the tsunami decided to go in the other direction.
I want a ringtone of, that's just friction.
I want to turn it into like an auto-tune thing.
In the other direction of where the comet. So the comet's coming in, going over, away from the East Coast. So it's heading towards Europe, okay? Which way did the fucking tsunami go? Back towards the East Coast. No.
Okay, so I'm going to stop you right there for a second, Scully, okay? First, I'm going to tell our audience to drink. Second, I am opening up a Movies in the Buff contest. Now, what I need you to do is I need you to take that little rant that Scully just went on. I need you to cut that up and auto-tune it. The best auto-tune song of Scully Bitches About Science is going to win something. I haven't decided what yet, but we're going to have that. All right, so let's get those in. moviesinthebuff@gmail.com. And that's the end of our movie.
No, I still had one other note. I cut one of the three, but I'm gonna do one more. Was I the only one who caught the interesting symbolism in the fact that the Biedermann comet actually survives the whole thing and lands on Earth, and the Wolf comet explodes in a massive fireball?
It was called Biedermann Wolf.
Split, they called the small one Biedermann and the large one Wolf.
Which is not how you handle it.
Yes, but the but the Wolf one exploded in a giant fireball. And what happened to Wolf at the beginning of this movie? Exploded in a giant fireball.
Oh, I see what you mean.
That's where he was going with that.
Yeah.
And you weren't the only one who caught that symbolism.
I just thought that was kind of cool.
Okay. So they rebuild the White House. Morgan Freeman gives
rebuilding the Capitol. White House.
Sorry, my bad. I wasn't paying attention by this point. By this point, I was actually trying to physically not vomit.
This point, I was noticing, they're rebuilding the Capitol, and look at the flat land. They're putting it back on the marsh. This should be underwater by now.
Yeah.
Like, that water should not have receded. It should have receded and taken the whole goddamn thing with it.
Well, that depends on how long it took them to rebuild.
Yeah. Probably not that long, considering there's a ton of construction out of Texas and California.
I'm sorry, I just have to point out some of this stuff here, and this is completely off topic, I know, but while we're recording right now, my son is watching Aristocats, which he is obsessed with at this point. And the guy goes to put sleeping pills to poison these cats, and on the sleeping pill it says, Dr. Restwell's sleeping pills. See?
Yep. Thank you, Disney.
Yes. Anyway, I'm sorry. So that's it. They rebuild, and Morgan Freeman gives his whole moving speech that nobody can remember a damn thing about, because it didn't actually matter what he said, it was how he said it.
No.
And
we were all just lulled by the sound of
voice. I'm pretty sure that he was reading off the names of everyone who died making this movie.
He could have been talking about the construction process of the new Capitol building. I was like, I don't care.
People who died making this movie.
Of embarrassment.
Tia Leone's acting ability.
No, it was dead way before this.
Okay, are we moving on, or are we just going to...
Yeah, we're moving on. Let's go into Best Buffed, and Lisa's griping about it gets to go first.
No, I'm not griping yet.
Be your best buffed.
Okay. This one is in reference to the shots you see as they're going through the tail end of the comet.
Mm-hmm.
Worst hailstorm ever.
Yep.
And this also
gets
way
worse.
This also gets, from me, a tearjerker award.
Aww.
Because some of those goodbye scenes were really good.
Yeah, the parents, from Elijah's and Lily's parents there, yeah, that was actually really good. Yeah.
Okay, honestly, I will say, like, the one time that I will give Tia Leone any credit at all was when she actually started acting like a human being with her very last line before the, wave smack.
Yeah.
Like, I swear that was actually halfway.
I swear I know where that house is. I saw that house, and it was so funny because Brad and I were like, that looks a lot like the Bush house up in Maine.
I thought it looked a lot like not exactly, but a lot like the house from Eternal Sunshine.
Anyway, I was thinking that too.
Yeah. What were the rest of yours?
That was it.
That was it. Okay, Carl.
Okay, so I am giving... Okay, do you guys remember the moles that they put the nuclear bombs in?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm giving those the porno award for most powerful screws.
I had to go. It's a movie called Deep Impact. It had to be there.
And the tsunami... The tsunami gets the American Airlines Damage Award.
Nice.
Okay.
Seriously, actually, it almost gets that award because, you know, the water recedes, all of New York is gone, Twin Towers still standing, mostly. Mm-hmm. Only buildings still standing, and they're leaning against each other, but they're still standing.
All right, so, any others?
Nope, those were my two.
All right, Scully?
This one has the West Wing Award for walk-in cameos. Walk-in, ha-ha. Okay.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay, I've never seen West Wing, and I got that.
Yeah, I also, it's not an award. I have to call this the Richard Sheep Certificate of Completion. Okay, we've seen you without your beard. Now put it back on.
Yes. Dear God, thank you.
Any others?
No, that's it.
All right. Let's see here. My awards. Uh-huh.
Actually, I do have something else. Can I just point out that he actually shaved this while in the middle of the West Wing to do this movie?
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, this movie came out...
He didn't want to be associated with the Toby character, which is a completely different character.
Yeah. But yeah, this movie came out in 88, West Wing didn't end until... Or, this movie came out in 98, and West Wing didn't end until 99. So it was either, you know, while he was in the middle of the last season of the West Wing, or right after they finished filming. Huh. That he shaved.
Okay. So, my best buffed. Let's see, I'm giving the, mostly the awesome visuals, but definitely the tsunami visual on the beach, the Shelf Life Award.
I'm way tired, because that's not nearly as funny as I think it is right now.
Yeah, it's really not. I am giving the random casting of Morgan Freeman the My Name is Morgan Freeman, and People Like My Voice Award. And I can't do a Morgan Freeman impression, but that would have been hilarious if I could. Mm-hmm. I'm giving Tia Leone the Dude Looks Like a Lady Award. Oh, shit, wait, she is a lady.
Or at least female.
I am giving one of the astronauts, the blind astronaut, I cannot remember his name, mm-hmm. but he is getting the That's a Hell of a Sunburn Award.
Yeah, I thought about giving that one.
Yeah.
I will agree with you on that one.
No, this is Wear Sunscreen Award from that song.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, it's the Copper Tone Award. There you go.
The Copper Tone. Wear Sunscreen.
No, all I thought of was Baz Luhrmann. The Sunscreen song.
Yep.
Yeah.
Where he's given the graduation speech. And then I realized that Baz Luhrmann does actually have a connection to this movie. And think about Baz Luhrmann's movies.
I have no idea.
You can't name one, can you? No. Okay, William Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet, Australia, Moulin Rouge.
Okay, what's the connection?
The sunscreen song.
Oh.
Yeah, like now we've given him a connection to this movie.
Nice.
Yeah, really upsetting. Anyway, my final award is the Desktop Background Awards for the visuals, all the visuals. And moving on into buff quotes. Let's see here. Scully, you want to go first?
Sure, mine's probably the easiest one, and the only accurate scientific one. People knew about the Manhattan Project, you know. They kept it a secret. That was just the creation of the atom bomb. Worst delivery of the line ever, but that just goes into how she sucks at acting.
Yeah.
It's this uncomfortable chuckle, yes, because the entire cast was like, well, you could have done better.
Lisa?
Every marriage has its good years and bad years. We ended on a great year.
That was a good one.
That was a very good
one. He's an awesome character.
Mm-hmm.
Carl?
I know you're just a reporter, but you used to be a person, right?
I so wanted that line.
I know. Like, he said that, and Lisa and I both picked up our notebooks, and she's like, damn it, take it.
All right. Hey, Carl.
Huh?
There's something I want you to know.
What?
Famous people always have sex, Mr. Perry. It's the main reason it's good to be famous. Sorry, I had to give you
out of the mouths of babes.
Yep.
Okay.
For loose definitions of the word babe.
They're still children, wow. So they're considered loose and, that.
Loose and babe in the same sentence, and I know where you were going with that. Oh, that's terrible.
That'll do. Anyway. Kate. That'll do.
Oh, stop!
Also a reference.
Damn it,
to also a reference to this movie.
Well, Cromwell already did that for you, but yeah, mm-hmm. Gotcha. All right.
Moving on, please.
Yeah, that's a horrible thought.
I'll need a mind scrub after this.
Okay, before we go on to where are you playing with your willy, all I'm saying is bacon. Okay, where are you playing with your willy? Carl, ask your questions.
Okay, let's see. What is Tia's mother playing with while talking about her ex-husband's wedding?
An earring.
The martini.
Her cigarette.
Wow. Rod is completely wrong, but close. And the other, you two mentioned everything else she has in her hand except the gold watch.
I knew some kind of story.
Oh, yeah.
What it was.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that watch.
Yep.
All right.
Let's see. Ooh. Spurgeon Tanner, Robert Duvall's character. What is the rank of his eldest son?
Captain.
I have no idea, so I'm gonna have to guess. Lieutenant.
Scully, anything? Did we lose Scully?
No, I'm still here. I'm just trying to remember because I can remember the uniforms, but I can't picture the rankings on them.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I don't remember. I'm going to go lower than both of those, though. I'm going to go almost lower Gunny.
No. Okay.
Carl, was he a major?
No. And no. Rod? No. You would be right if it wasn't for the fact that they were in the Navy, and therefore Lisa is right.
Gotcha.
Because captain's bars in the Navy are lieutenant's insignia.
Got it.
I got one on a guess.
Okay. Here's the reason why I guessed that, and I did not actually pay attention close enough to get his bars.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason why I guessed that is because 99% of the time in any film, mm-hmm. anyone who goes up in a spacecraft...
Mm-hmm.
or is even related to that situation, is going to be a captain or a major.
Yeah. That's because anybody who goes in a spacecraft is from the Air Force.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
his son was not in nope. the spacecraft.
No, his sons both went to the Naval Academy. The That's oldest right. one was a captain, and the youngest one was an ensign.
You mean a lieutenant?
Or a lieutenant, yeah. But I always say that because he's wearing captain's bars, damn it. But yeah, he was a lieutenant.
Gotcha.
Because the name
okay,
is weird.
So, Scully, you want to ask your questions?
Sure. Actually, who made the floppy disk?
The scientist.
No.
Who made the floppy disk?
Oh, crap. 3M.
AMD.
No. What did you say?
I said Rod? 3. Oh, Rod said AMD.
Yeah.
I said 3M.
No. Shoot for it, Lisa.
You already told me that mine wasn't right.
Well, the maker of the...
Yeah, the actual manufacturer.
Who was holding it, the actual manufacturer.
The only... I have no idea.
It's AT&T.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
I was like, oh my god.
Yeah. At first, I was sitting there thinking, if she says Memorex, I'm going to be pissed.
Actually, I was thinking about saying Mac.
Yeah.
But that's a computer, not a
type. Those were the computers that were being used.
I remember seeing the floppy disk and thinking, man, that's a really...
I saw that floppy disk. Holy I had a stack of those.
I remember having those. Man, that tells our age.
I remember boxes of floppy disks. Oh, yeah. Like, does anybody remember that? Like, boxes upon boxes around the desk.
And they looked like long boxes, too, because they were all... Yeah, I know. They were like index card boxes. Anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so...
What was the name of the treasurer's boat?
Say that again?
What was the name of the treasurer... Well, the former secretary of treasury's boat?
I don't even remember that scene, to be honest with you.
I don't remember the name of the boat. I remember the scene. I remember her looking at the boat, but I do not remember the name of the boat.
I mean, I'm just going to throw a guess out there. Was it the SS? Was it Jenna?
No.
Well, there's one movie and a TV show reference right there.
We've got 12 Jennas. Sorry.
Moral, I am pretty sure that they did not reference Revenge in this movie.
No, but Revenge might have referenced this movie, although that would be terrible taste.
It would be.
Yeah.
So the boat is the Hannah H.
Oh.
I thought everybody would have got it. It's a really easy name.
I
didn't even see the name.
Yeah.
Like, when y'all talked about that, I don't remember seeing that scene at all. I don't know what happened, but... Anyway, okay. Lisa, your turn.
When they go, I'm also going to reference an area of the same scene. The Van Pol, her reporting van pulls up. What's the name of
MSNBC?
Yeah, that's it.
Guess what? Cool tidbit on this. Mm. They actually made the pitch to CNN first to be the actual news media.
Oh, really?
That was being done. CNN turned it down. MSNBC had only just started.
Yeah, I remember that this was right after they formed.
And they did it as sort of a promo, you know, media advertising marketing campaign after they released, which was really cool.
Okay, when Wolf was driving to report the new asteroid, he was hit by, or he swerved to avoid a trucker. What was the trucker drinking?
RC Cola.
Jolt.
Peppermint Schnapps. Roger, guess?
No, on both guys. Scully, you got it.
Yeah.
I went to back it up to check, and I couldn't find the right thing quick enough.
I told you, I wrote down who sponsored this movie.
I'm pretty sure Scully is winning.
She has two that I know of.
If you write down, if you had any questions relating to product placement, I got it. With very few exceptions.
So yeah, it's Scully 2, Lisa 1, and Guy 0.
Wow, I'm impressed. Carl doesn't have one.
Okay, so it's time for my questions. Obviously, I'm losing this one, but who's surprised? During the original news meeting around the conference table, what two beverages were apparent on the table?
The very first one?
I'm going to guess, because there's only one that I remember the drinks clearly on.
I'm going to just go ahead and let y'all know now, there were no brand names.
Yeah, no, there were.
I'm going to go with coffee and tea. Yeah, probably water.
I'm going to go with soda and beer.
I'm going to go coffee and water, because it was white styrofoam cups and clear plastic cups.
Okay, so you were so wrong on the cups, but it was coffee and water, but I'm trying to figure out if we should divvy this or what, because, I mean, Carl and Scully pretty much came up with the same answer.
It's okay.
It's like one got one part, one got the other part. Anyway, basically the coffee was in brown styrofoam cups, and it was bottled water.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that's right, they had the short-ass bottles.
Yeah.
About those.
That's what, like, caught my eye.
All right.
Y'all each get half a point.
Okay.
So, during the barbecue, what color was the kids' table?
I really don't remember that.
I know. I picked this such at random. I
can name you the bottle brands, but I couldn't tell.
I'm going to go with white. I have no idea.
Scully, you want to just throw out a guess?
Blue.
Wow. Carl was the closest, but it was red.
Mm.
So, Scully wins.
Yep.
Yes.
Wow. I have so many frigging answers to potential questions written all over my paper, and none of them were asked, except for the MSNBC one, which I already knew.
I almost asked the stars, but I'm.
I had those wrote down.
Yeah, those I actually was like.
That's a little easy.
I had what cup? What I had the answer to which of the mason jars had the key in it? I have the answer to what are the two numbers above the doorways into the caves? What's the name of the bus
that picks them up?
Yeah. What two section or what section are they supposed to be part of?
Okay,
and what
before,
section?
Before yeah. Our audience starts writing down all these questions because it is time for audience questions.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've got a time.
Okay, so Scully, ask your audience question.
Trying to look at all of these. Actually, I'm going to ask one that's rather, I say, quote-unquote challenging, but it did do a quick Google. What was the name of the opera that was being played while Wolf was in the... he was on the mountain in Arizona. In the observatory. There we go. I was like, oh my god, I can't remember the name of it. What was the opera that was being played?
Okay.
All right. Lisa?
I also have a question about Wolf.
Okay.
What was the type of pizza he was eating?
Oh god.
The two items on that pizza.
So gross. I'm sorry. That pizza looked really unappetizing.
Really making me want some anchovy pizza right now.
Oh.
That's nasty.
Soggy. Like anchovies. All right. Anyway. Alright, so, Carl.
What is the number on the sticker of the lead FBI car that boxes Tia Leone in?
And my audience question is, name the spaceship and comet from this film.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're begging for an answer, aren't you?
Remember answering all questions? We'll get the $25 gift card. Has anybody checked the email today?
I am trying to check now. Gmail.
No, I literally got home, prepped the show, and we started recording. Yeah.
So, I went to pull it up before we started recording, and Gmail was down. I have nothing.
Nothing. All right, so $25 iTunes gift card still available. On top of that, answering any of the questions, we'll get your name mentioned on the air. Send answers in to inthebufffilms@gmail.com. And if, in case you're wondering, that is 3 F's. We haven't lost any answers based on that. And mental debuff. Scully, you want to write first.
Before we go there, I would like to say if you still have the correct equipment, we will still try and get you on the air.
Yeah, absolutely.
You got Skype.
Yeah, Skype and a microphone will get you on the air.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And Skype's free, people.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, alright. Scully, you did win the right to debuff first.
Okay, don't wash this and replace for any science whatsoever. The only thing it was actually remotely good for was actually the star constellations, and even that was really fuzzy. Congratulations, you named them right, and they are actually in the right positions. So that's awesome. Rest of it you can ignore. That was all you could really get hung up on because the storylines were just so shallow that you couldn't even wade through them.
Sorry, I'm thinking shallow like when that tide came in.
Pretty much.
I loved the shelf. Anyway, okay. See here, Lisa, next.
I'm actually going to disagree with Scully on the fact that I did enjoy the fact that at least one movie that we've debuffed shows hope alive. At the end of the movie, there is still hope in the world.
Yeah, I mean, all of these actors still had careers after this movie.
Well, not all of them.
Sorry. All right, Carl.
Armageddon did it better.
Can't argue that one.
Yeah.
Which is the other movie that I would give the tearjerker award to.
Armageddon had a theme song, man.
And Animal Crackers.
Sorry, I went into a Rolling Mounds place.
Yeah.
How many times
Armageddon,
can we wrong.
Armageddon is the only other movie I would give the Tearjerker Award to, so come on.
All right. And Carl, did you already do
yours? I just did mine. Armageddon did it better.
I thought so. That's what I thought, but I was like, is that it?
He's very suddenly unaware of the fact that now is time for Rugrats.
Yeah, I am. Thank you. And I apologize, guys. I am tired tonight. It's been a very rough week for me. But, okay, so Rugrats. Deep impact. A lot of great actors. Really amazing dialogue writing. Not done well. And it's still not enough to save this movie from overused and ultimately a dropped plot. Oh, and Tia Leone's bad acting. And man mouth. So, this film is a silver screen equivalent to the overused joke. I'm kind of tired, so can you run really fast into my fist? I'm sitting watching this movie thinking, will the comet finally hit the fucking planet and end all of our suffering? Tia, save your career and show your tits. I'm reminded of a timeless John Travolta quote. God damn it, I'm never going to get a hard-on again. Still, this was easier to swallow Paul Herman's pulsating rare steak, if you know what I mean. No, you don't know what I mean, because you watched this movie and now you've activated the defense mechanism that turns you into a zombie to prevent further boredom. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is Rod's rants.
The pulsating meat is where I had to mute the mic.
I was like, oh god, Rod talking about putting meat in his mouth is not an image I want to see.
Mind scrub.
All right. So if it makes you feel any better, next week we have a lot of really good actors and a lot of really good dialogue and a plot that holds its own weight.
And so, possibly a special guest, but we don't know, we haven't got a firm confirmation yet, so we're not going to say who.
Oh, shit, I said all that, and I was thinking next week was Catch Me If You Can. Never mind.
next week is Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off, which, for those of you keeping track at home, is a movie that sort of introduced us to Charlie Sheen, so thanks for that, fucker. Anyway.
How can you be so bad on that? He gave us such amazing quotes. I still remember Tiger's Blood.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I mean, there were some really... Wow. I can't even say this with a straight face. Like, I can't finish this thought. Anyway, okay, so join us next week for Ferris Bueller's Day Off, where we're going to, enjoy Matthew Broderick goofing off like he has for the last 40 years and, destroy a really nice car. So... until then, keep watching those movies in the buff. It's just better that way. Good night, folks.
Night.
Hey, buffers. Don't forget to check out our new website, moviesinthebuff.com, and like us on Facebook and Google+, or follow us on Twitter at moviesinthebuff. You can also follow your team at debauchery, me at Rod the Golden.
At Scully44.
At Kith Kanan.
And at A Corner Witch.
You can email us at inthebufffilms@gmail.com.
Movies in the Buff is now also available on Stitcher Smart Radio. Find out more at stitcher.com or download the app today.
Movies in the Buff is distributed under a Creative Commons
attribution,
non-commercial,
no derivatives,
3.0 U.S. license.